So over the last 2 days, I've gotten a lot of messages of, Phil, are you concerned that in 7 days, your show is going to be a lot more boring once Trump's gone? And I'm like, I wish it was going to be more boring. This isn't Bad Guy Loses at the end of the movie. This is Bad Guy Loses at the end of the movie, and then after the credits, like, a hand jumps out of the water. And you're like, oh my God, they're setting up a sequel. Like, I get that I'm in the news business, but that's like asking someone, are you concerned you're not going to have a daily sense of dread? But main point, welcome back to the Philip DeFranco Show. It is January 13th, 2021, and let's just jump into the news of the day so you can get back to yours. And the first story today, I just want to go on the record that this is not a style choice that I was excited about. I've seen the memes on Twitter. Very funny, genuinely funny. But I want you to know you cannot dissuade me out of this or bully me out of this, because I hate myself right now. I can't get a haircut right now, and this is the least worst of the options. Just trust me with this. But with that settled, let's jump to actual news. Starting with internet/celebrity news. And first up here, you have Belle Delphine in the news. Of course, massive internet personality, huge on OnlyFans. So Belle Delphine over the past 24 hours has been in the news because she is facing massive backlash for posting graphic sexual photos of her being tied up and role-playing being kidnapped on Twitter. So before we dive into this further, I'll say the photos and the content in this story involve depictions and discussions of rape. So if seeing that would be harmful to you, I would definitely skip ahead. Story goes, the caption for this post says, my perfect first date, and then the pictures show her in the back of a car, many saying she looks like she's dressed like a child. She's tied up, her mouth's covered, and one of the pictures, a man who appears to be her kidnapper is having sex with her. And she immediately faced backlash online for many reasons, some saying that she was fetishizing and glorifying rape, others saying that she glorified pedophilia. And while you did have, yes, people defending her, saying that she was just posting content involving a power play kink, others said that it was still not okay to post this kind of content without some kind of trigger warning or gating, especially because seeing that can be very harmful for people who have had that trauma. And while that conversation and debate continued online, ultimately it led this morning to Belle addressing the backlash in a tweet saying, I'm not sorry, here's why. And in this long post, which I'm gonna have to paraphrase because I think otherwise YouTube would suppress this video, which still may happen, she says that there's nothing wrong with situations like this as long as it's consensual. Going on to say that because this is consensual and no one's getting hurt, it's the same as the argument that violence in video games promotes violence, saying she made it very clear in the caption of the photo as well as any writing that this was consensual and all this other stuff, it's people putting it onto the photos. Also going on to say that it was insane to her that people thought she was dressed like a child, instead calling the outfit vintage, noting other people dress like this all the time, and adding, if it's about how I genetically look, I can't change that and I will not apologize for it either. Also going on to cite studies claiming that between 31 to 61% of women have some sort of power play fantasy, and hitting on the note that just because someone has the fantasy of something doesn't mean they actually want that in real life. And finally, when it comes to the people that were upset she didn't have some sort of trigger warning, she essentially said, this is kind of all my content. Do not follow me if you require trigger warnings before posts. Or essentially the same idea that for a show like mine, which this is not what I do 100% of the time, it makes sense to have some sort of trigger warning, while if it's all I talked about, it might make less sense. You know, with this story specifically, I really would love to know your thoughts. Where do you land? Why? Let me know in those comments down below. Then in other creator entertainment news, though not controversial, still interesting, we saw that Valkyrae has edged out Pokimane as the top female streamer of 2020. Because what is the point of having women in entertainment if we can't pit them against one another? He said as a joke, calm down, I'm trying not to get canceled until mid-2021. But no, according to a new report from Stream Hatchet, she was watched for 23.6 million hours in 2020, with Pokimane trailing just behind at 23.3. While we saw a number of creators who moved from Twitch to YouTube growing in 2020, Valkyrae was on a different level with a growth rate of 7,300% in hours watched. Also, interestingly with this, while the report noted that the gap between male and female streamers is continuing to close, it is still big, because while she was the biggest female streamer of 2020 overall, she was actually 63rd. Also, before some people, and you know some of these people, take that as some sort of attack, I'm just saying that is a thing. If you're taking it as some sort of commentary or think it is a call to action, I would recommend maybe looking inward. But also with this, and maybe it actually does touch on that situation in general, Valkyrae was in the news for other reasons because she tweeted this morning that she actually had to take her Twitter private because she's reportedly been getting harassed by a stalker. With her explaining he's made hundreds of accounts for months, would love if Twitter had blocking options where the user can't interact with an account that has blocked another account from the same device or something. The final bit of creator news is actually around PewDiePie, one of the biggest creators on the platform, has over 108 million subscribers here on YouTube, and he is going to Facebook. Though, if you're a fan, do not freak out. He is still here on YouTube. The videos will still premiere here first. But then, as Forbes notes, Jellysmack, the company that organized this deal, will select the right videos for a Facebook audience and optimize them for the Facebook platform. And adding generally, that means somewhat shorter. People watch longer videos on YouTube. The co-founder of Jellysmack explaining why he thinks that this move will be successful on TechFirst, which is a podcast by Forbes writer John Cutsier.
There is only 19% overlap between YouTube and Facebook Watch in terms of
audience.
You said 19? 19. Yeah, sorry.
Yes.
So when you think about it, you know, a lot of people on Facebook don't know PewDiePie's content.
Yes.
And that's what we're going to do. It's basically trying to add more people to his audience.
But I'm also noting that right now, creators can actually make more money on Facebook than YouTube. And so overall, it looks like it could be a huge deal for PewDiePie as well as Jellysmack and for Facebook, which has been investing more and more money into gaming content. It kind of just makes sense. Then we should talk about how this week, you know, we've been talking about social media companies cracking down on Donald Trump, but you may have noticed that YouTube was not a big part of that conversation. But yesterday we ended up seeing that change with YouTube saying that it removed a new video on President Trump's channel for violating the platform's policies against inciting violence. And with that, YouTube issued him his first strike, meaning that Trump has now been banned from uploading new videos for at least 7 days, though, according to YouTube, that ban could be extended. And on top of that, YouTube has also suspended comments on all videos on Trump's channel, citing the risk of violence. And then, we should talk about the news that a group of Uber and Lyft drivers have filed a lawsuit with California Supreme Court, asking for them to overturn the state's controversial Prop 22 ballot measure. And for those that don't remember, Prop 22, which was approved by 59% of California state voters in the 2020 election, exempts app-based transportation and delivery companies from having to classify their drivers as employees. Right? Instead, those drivers are listed as independent contractors, right? They're gig workers. And notably, Prop 22 was supported by major industry players like DoorDash, Uber, Lyft, and Instacart, which launched a massive $200 million lobbying and advertising campaign. While those companies did promise drivers things like wage guarantees and health insurance stipends, Prop 22 also eliminated a number of protections and benefits that drivers would have seen under an employee status, including sick pay and workers' comp. And because of that, you had opponents arguing that the measure incentivizes companies in laying off their employees in favor of cheaper labor options. And in fact, last week we saw that play out when grocery stores like Albertsons, Vons, and Pavilions began laying off their delivery workers in favor of switching to third-party logistics providers. So now with this lawsuit, we've seen the drivers behind it arguing that Prop 22 violates California's constitution by stripping the state's legislature of its ability to empower workers to organize. Also arguing that it illegally excludes them from the state's workers' comp program, with one driver saying, "Every day, rideshare drivers like me struggle to make ends meet because companies like Uber and Lyft prioritize corporate profits over our well-being." But also, it is not a universal issue. On the other side of this, you had an Uber driver and Prop 22 activist Jim Pyatt saying, "Voters across the political spectrum spoke loud and clear, passing Prop 22 in a landslide. Meritless lawsuits that seek to undermine the clear democratic will of the people do not stand up to scrutiny in the courts." Now, that said, we have seen California ballot measures occasionally in the past getting repealed. However, that has also usually only occurred with additional ballot measures. And so if this lawsuit fails, such an initiative would likely be the last option for overturning Prop 22. Then, in news I'm literally just sharing because hopefully it saves maybe even one dong, the FDA has expanded a recall of Sports Mix dry pet food products. And this because the agency said that the product may contain potentially fatal levels of aflatoxins, which are toxins produced by a certain kind of mold, which can grow on corn and other grains used as ingredients in the pet food. And with this, unfortunately, as of Monday, more than 70 pets have reportedly died and more than 80 have gotten sick after eating Sports Mix pet food, though, all cases have not been officially confirmed as aflatoxin poisoning. I'll include more detailed information down below, but your pet might be experiencing this poisoning if their symptoms include sluggishness, loss of appetite, vomiting, jaundice, or diarrhea. But also, even if they're not showing these symptoms, you should take them to a vet because this toxicity can actually cause long-term liver issues without showing any symptoms. And the main point of that story is I think statistically, I at least saved one dog, which means I'm a hero. Worship me. Thank you. Then, in international news, let's talk about India, where we saw the Supreme Court there putting three controversial farming laws on hold after months of massive nationwide protests by over 100,000 farmers. But also, despite what looks like a victory, many farmers are still protesting across the nation and slowing down cities like New Delhi, claiming that this decision is a trick to ease the pressure off the government. Now, as far as the laws in question, it would allow Indian farmers to sell their crops to any buyer at any price. And while they could already sell crops to nearly any buyer, there were regulations in place to guarantee minimum prices on many crops. And those minimum prices were a double-edged sword. On one hand, it allowed farmers enough consistency to confidently schedule their planting cycles, but on the other hand, if the market was saturated with a given crop, they could lose out on potential sales by not being able to lower their price. And so, despite any potential drawbacks, farmers have overwhelmingly supported price guarantees and have actually been demanding for years that they just be increased, with them also fearing that the new laws would allow large corporations to exploit agricultural workers and drive down prices so low that small-time farmers could not compete. The court has asked the government and farmers to return to the negotiating table mediated by a Supreme Court committee, but neither side particularly wants to. But also, this is going to be a thing that's important to watch because it actually has massive consequences. It is possible that what happens here, what decisions are made, what is the end result, it could have electoral ramifications because agriculture is the primary livelihood for 58% of Indians. So essentially, we're talking about an issue that affects the largest voting bloc in the nation. Then, other international news, specifically if you're outside of the United States and you're gonna come here. Yesterday, we saw the CDC announcing that starting January 26, anyone flying into the United States will need to show proof of a negative COVID-19 test. Additionally, the rules will not only apply to foreigners, but US citizens as well, and were put into place to prevent the spread of newer strains of the coronavirus. Though, regarding that, health experts have also noted that at least one of the strains from the UK is likely already in the States. And as far as why the two-week delay in implementing this policy, it's because the coronavirus has taken a two-week break. Not true. Reportedly, this is to allow airlines and passengers the time to get their systems in place and required tests for travel. I should also mention today there is massive news coming out of Italy, where a trial has started with reportedly more than 320 defendants who were part of or associated with the 'Ndrangheta crime syndicate. In fact, in addition to the 300 defendants going to trial, 90 others have elected for a fast-track trial somewhere else in Calabria, the home territory of the syndicate. You know, this is a massive affair. Technically, it is not the largest mob-related trial ever in Italy. That actually happened back in the 80s. But reportedly, this trial is so high profile and potentially dangerous that the government built a bunker for the event. As far as the charges against the defendants, that includes extortion, drugs and arms trafficking, money laundering, and mafia association, which is a term used in Italy's penal code for members of organized crime. With investigators also hoping that in addition to convictions, the trial will show how entrenched organized crime is in the territory, as it's believed that they're heavily involved with local politicians and businessmen. But ultimately, this trial is seen as a major blow for the group, especially because in the past they were particularly known as a tight-knit group, as a small core of families made up the syndicate's leadership. However, investigators and prosecutors have managed to turn some members of those families and have used them as informants. And while, if successful, it is being said this could be a massive blow to organized crime in Italy, there's also a potential impact around the world in places like Europe, Australia, and the Americas. And then we should definitely talk about, and it's kind of more of a congratulations to Donald Trump for becoming the first president to be impeached twice, with the House voting today 232 to 197 to impeach President Trump for incitement of insurrection. Though this time around with this impeachment, there was a difference because it was not split purely on party lines. In fact, 10 Republicans voted to impeach Trump, with one of the most notable votes for impeachment coming from Liz Cheney. I mean, she's in GOP leadership. She's the number 3 House Republican, which we knew was coming. Last night she said, "There's never been a greater betrayal by a president of the United States of his office and his oath to the Constitution." But main thing with this is now all eyes turn to the Senate. But understand, as of right now, no Republican senators have publicly said that they support removing Trump. One of the closest things we have to that is yesterday, the New York Times reported that sources close to Mitch McConnell said the Senate leader, quote, has told associates that he believes President Trump committed impeachable offenses and that he is pleased that Democrats are moving to impeach him, believing that it will make it easier to purge him from the party. The source is also reportedly telling Axios that there's a better than 50-50 chance that McConnell would vote to convict Trump. But to that point, we did see McConnell responding to these reports today saying, "While the press has been full of speculation, I have not made a final decision on how I will vote, and I intend to listen to the legal arguments when they are presented to the Senate." And as for if other Republicans would follow suit, a top Republican close to McConnell also told Axios, "The Senate institutional loyalists are fomenting a counter-revolution to Trump." And reportedly, McConnell's advisors have also said that he has privately speculated that a dozen Republican senators and possibly more could ultimately vote to convict. And notably there, as far as how many Republicans would need to vote to convict, right now it's most likely 17 Republicans. And as far as potential timeline here, the Senate is currently in recess and not set to reconvene until the 19th, the day before the inauguration. In fact, just this morning, we saw McConnell's team saying that he rejects Minority Leader Chuck Schumer's call to join him in invoking their joint emergency powers to ask the members back before then. But ultimately, for now, we'll have to wait and see. And I mean, as far as my opinion here, I think if you had a private secret vote, 1,000% Trump would get convicted. But many of these politicians who are putting their job and party over country, they're scared. Though, what's kind of interesting is the people that would actually benefit the most of Trump being impeached and then convicted are his loyalists. Are people that stood by, enabled, supported, defended Trump's attacks on democracy, because then you get into a 2024 where Trump wouldn't be able to run most likely. And who's gonna be there to scoop up all those Supporters, maybe. Time will tell. Also, we should talk about how in response to the attack last Wednesday, security measures have been ramped up in the House of Representatives. This morning, you might have seen them circulating on social media photos of National Guard members sleeping in the Capitol, which notably marks the first time that it's been used as a barracks since the Civil War. We also saw metal detectors having been installed outside the chamber, and members are now required to walk through them. While that may seem like a simple security measure, something that you'd see happen at a high school that maybe something bad happened at, a security measure meant to protect the nation's top leaders has been condemned by several Republicans. Last night, several GOP representatives protested loudly as they were asked to go through the detectors, reportedly yelling at Capitol Police, Democratic members, and reporters who were present. According to reports, newly elected Representative Lauren Boebert, who in no way is a new member of Congress, who seemed to be actively tweeting Nancy Pelosi's location during an insurrection. I mean, if that was true, that would be crazy. That person maybe should be arrested. She reportedly set off a metal detector with her bag and then refused to let Capitol Police inspect it. And that is notable because in addition to all the other stuff, Boebert is the same representative who caused a major controversy immediately after she was sworn in when she publicly announced to the world that she would carry her gun around in the Capitol complex. You know, it's gonna be interesting to see what happens with Boebert because, like I said, she's only been in Congress for what, less than 2 weeks, but she's already facing calls to resign. This in part because, like I said, she tweeted out their location, so several lawmakers, including her Republican colleagues, have said that she endangered their lives. Others noting they were specifically asked and told not to tweet out anything about their location. Others also arguing that she was calling for armed revolution when she tweeted, "Today is 1776. But instead, we've seen Boebert reject the calls to resign in a statement where she blamed Democrats and Hollywood celebrities who she said incited the mob violence in the past. You know, many questions about the security concerns of the nation's leaders have been raised in days since the insurrection. You know, in an hour-long Instagram live that attracted more than 100,000 viewers, we saw Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez describing some of her experience on January 6th. One of the most notable remarks that she made was that she was concerned that her Republican colleagues would lead the rioters to her location, saying that lawmakers were told to go to a protected extraction point, but that she didn't feel safe doing so.
Because there were QAnon and white supremacist sympathizers, and frankly, white supremacist members of Congress in that extraction point who I know and who I had felt would disclose my location and allow me to, who would create opportunities to allow me to be hurt, kidnapped, etc."
Very notably, during that live stream, AOC also said,
"I had a pretty traumatizing event happen to me. And I do not know if I can even disclose the full details of that event due to security concerns, but I can tell you that I had a very close encounter where I thought I was going to die."
So obviously a very scary situation, especially when you have to try to imagine what it is it's like for a number of these representatives. Not only do you have to kind of worry about the outside, but the enemy seems within now as well, potentially. But for now, we have to wait, see what else we learn, watch for continued fallout of the arrests and other responses. And of course, whether it be around this or anything else today, I would love to know your thoughts in those comments down below. And that is where I'm going to end today's show. Quick note for the about 25,000 of you that signed up to the secret, not so secret thing, make sure you check your spam folder and your email today. Just want to make sure that everything's getting through. As of right now, I'm aiming to send you one thing a day, so just be on the lookout. For everyone else, do not worry, I will open it up in the near future. But with that said, thanks for watching. Thanks for maybe hitting us with a like or sharing. It helps spread some common sense. And this has been news that matters for people that care. I'll see you tomorrow.